This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Shaoning and Philip. So yesterday was Freedom Day for many Malaysians as the ban on interstate travel was finally lifted. This followed the Prime Minister's announcement on Sunday that 90% of the adult population is fully vaccinated, and hence Malaysians who are fully vaccinated along with their children will be allowed to travel domestically across the country.
Well, at least for those who have completed both doses will no longer be required to apply for the My Travel Pass scheme to travel overseas as well. So theoretically, Malaysians can go overseas for that wonderful vacation. Now, the government's rapid vaccine rollout has allowed it to gradually lift curbs on movement as it aims to reopen all economic and social sectors by the final quarter of the year. So, is the worst over for the local travel and tourism sector, or are there reasons to stay cautious?
So, for more on this, we have with us Nigel Wong, Honorary Secretary General of the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents. Nigel, good morning. Always good to have you. With interstate travel being allowed beginning yesterday, are you expecting a surge in travel demand given the long weekend that's coming, or do you think people are still cautious?
Hey guys, morning. Nice to be back. Well, interesting question. We're also very eager to see what's going to happen. But given what's been happening with the recent tourism, Langkawi tourism bubble, we do expect there will be a surge of traffic going interstate, but not necessarily on tourism, though. We do look at it being more on familial visits, maybe people who haven't seen family in a long time. They'll probably be on the roads. And we probably will get a smattering of local tourists, you know, going back to their favorite makan-makan honsla. But apart from that, maybe tourism, maybe within the next few following weeks, once people sort of get an idea of what's happening and start making holiday plans.
Can you give us a sense of the numbers? How was the Langkawi bubble? Did it do well? Like, what was the surge in travel there?
Well, the numbers, as the minister has reported, is actually about 30,000 in there. I think they're going to double that very, very soon. So I can't comment on the numbers directly. But the funny thing was, I was actually just there over the weekend. I got back yesterday.
Lucky and, you.
well, I wish I had more time there, Philip. But by the looks of it, many of the key resorts, the more popular ones, are at least, you know, after speaking to some hoteliers there, are at least doing 50%, which is very good according to them. We see a bit of life coming back. Some of the popular places are still a bit on the quiet side, but that's to be expected. But in general, I think everyone on the island is looking forward to the year-end holidays, and they are expecting a lot more tourists to head to Langkawi.
But at the same time, Health Minister Kari Jamaluddin is urging Malaysians to travel safely and says that we cannot rule out another COVID-19 wave. So what's your sense of the current SOPs in place? Are they adequate to protect from this wave, especially since the responsibility now really lies heavily on Malaysians?
Sure. So this is a very tricky question to answer because we need to make sure that the SOPs don't inconvenience businesses as well as, you know, the rakyat in general. So you have to strike a very fine balance. But on that note, though, the current SOPs that have been put in place in general is actually sufficient. It's the same SOPs that are being put in place in many, many countries all over the world. You know, the simple things like not going to overly crowded places, you know, keeping your mask on, sanitizing, that sort of thing. So I suppose my answer to your question would be really simple. The SOPs do need to be standardized in order to make sure that we don't have any confusion, you know, among the rakyat, whether they're tourists or holidaymakers or not, and among the businesses, and more importantly, among the enforcement authorities. And really, at the end of the day, with all that being said, the rakyat has been well aware of, you know, what we need to do to keep ourselves safe. Really, end of the day, it really boils back down to the individual. You just need to make sure that you adhere to them and you keep yourself as safe as possible to keep others safe.
And Nigel, I just want to highlight something that was in the news. I mean, there was a hotel reported in Langkawi that had a bit of a COVID-19 rise in cases, right, among its staff. Well, are there any lessons to be learned from this? Because the Langkawi travel bubble, it was or is the first in Malaysia.
Well, I think the takeaway is this, you know, there really is no 100% scenario where you can totally avoid any sort of infection. I mean, even with the Phuket travel bubble, With inbound tourists, we did even see some cases, mostly local. Now, from what I understand, the case here was handled very quickly. According to our sources in Langkawi, it was very quickly contained, people put into quarantine, and they made sure that the guests coming into Langkawi were taken care of adequately, pushed to other hotels. But apart from that particular case, you know, there hasn't been any other reported case on the ground of this happening. It's probably a once-off. If we keep to the SOPs and we be mindful, you know, of the scenario, the situation, we will be able to keep this, and the keyword is, to a minimum.
And looking ahead to Budget 2022, Finance Minister Tengku Zafrul said the government will give special treatment to the tourism sector to help the sector's recovery from the pandemic. What is on your wish list, Nigel?
We have a very long wish list. You got more time? Okay, so top of the wish list for us is we would like the government to set up a tourism recovery and growth fund. Now, essentially, it's a soft loan facility we're asking for, $5 billion to start across the industry, basically very low interest and long repayment periods, simply because we find that tourism players are unable to access this fund effectively through the Pinjana mechanism, which runs through banks. So this fund is of top priority. It's not only to help tourism players sort of recover, but also to reposition themselves. It requires new working capital to increase the infrastructure, facilities, so on and so forth, right? Apart from that, we are asking, of course, for a domestic stimulus program. So basically subsidies or incentives for the locals to travel and for local businesses to hold their events in Malaysia, of course, sooner rather than later. And we're also asking the government to come up with a clear set of guidelines with regards to international border reopenings.
So, you know, things that are quite broad-based applies to across the ecosystem. But if you dissect the ecosystem, it's so huge, right? You've got bus operators, hotels, airlines, you know, tourist sites and such. Who really needs the help the most? Where is it being affected the most now?
Well, that's a $1 million question, Philip. I would probably put it this way. Everybody across the ecosystem needs some kind of assistance, but hotels, thankfully, are able to tap in on the domestic market. So that's really, really good. I think the smaller hotels will need some help kickstarting again now that interstate travel is open. I would say, though, the most heavily affected components would be, in no particular order, the agents, the independent professionals, such as the tourist guides, and of course, the convention centers, you know, they've not been able to run events for a long time. That includes the hotels as well. But yeah, that's generally where we're looking at getting most of the immediate help necessary.
And Nigel, one final question that we're going to try and squeeze through. What about overseas travel? You mentioned that guidelines for international travel is something that you'd want to see in Budget 2022. How should we start to rethink about opening borders to tourists?
Okay, there are a couple of very good examples, of course, with Singapore and their VTL arrangements with Germany and a few other countries. Generally, we've hit the 90% mark, which is fantastic, and that puts us on par with a lot of different countries worldwide. So what we would like to see is the government looking at a managed reopening of borders, where we look at countries that are similar in status to us, it's under control, and then negotiate for reciprocal rights. The main thing, of course, is that when this is done, the restrictions need to be loosened significantly. That is, mainly on the issue of quarantine. There should really be no to very little quarantine when looking at reciprocal tourist, leisure and business travel arrangements.
Nigel, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning. That was Nigel Wong, Honorary Secretary General of the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, talking to us about how the local tourism industry could be impacted by this reopening of borders, and also looking ahead to the reopening of international borders and how that might come about.
Give you a sense of the numbers. In 2019, we had 26 million tourist arrivals. In 2020, that dropped to just 4.3 million. So there's a lot of work to do to catch up, to get back to the pre-pandemic of 26 million.
It's a long way to go. And, you know, it's I guess the jury is still out whether we're seeing a dawn or if it's a false dawn and the skies will come cloudy again. But we can hope. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.